Thank you very much. I really, really love where Gary was just taking us, and I want to differentiate between someone who's spewing and someone who's spewing about you. Because sometimes we're in the atmosphere of someone who's just, their whole world is bad. And that, I've had the experience of that actually making me feel pretty good. It's like, it ain't that bad. You know, where I realize they're not even that bad. They just have lost their way. But you start to, it gets ridiculous. You know, how people will, everything is configuring to destroy them kind of reality. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's not that bad. But when they're spewing about how bad you are to them, it's a different kind of centering required, because even though you might not think you have a button about it, they have a button about you. Because otherwise they wouldn't be saying those things directly to you. It takes a lot of boldness to do that. So maybe we could applaud that. Good for you that you could be so bold as to insult me right to my face. I know that there is, I've used these lines many times before. You know, we all three people before me are speaking about being centered, whether you're touching your body where the energy is, or what, I love Miranda's, having a system where you remind yourself of the possibility that you could be cheerful, and finding ways, especially if you're a person who likes systems, like Miranda does, you can start to see the system is not working for you, so you got to change the system. You got to start earlier, you got to, whatever you need to do. So we have the possibility of knowing the reality, these words that I say, which is, I am in heaven, and the revelation of myself is holy. I mean, we can just make that decision. I'm going to stay in heaven and let the revelation of myself be awesome. I'm going to be like, Gary, be awesome. Or the other one is, I am the voice of being. So I remember what my voice is, my true voice, as opposed to the one that's in the hamster wheel. I've had a lot of experience going down one path that's a little bit different than what we've been talking about, which is being so convinced that everything that comes to me where it's painful is something wrong with me. So that I never think there's other, I forget there are other people involved in the scenario. Like someone may be acting badly, but I just keep thinking, well, what's mine to do? What's wrong with me? Where's my wound? In reality, that can be exhausting and also so terribly untrue that you don't have any penetration to bless anymore, because you're holding back your radiance. You're holding back your gift, because you are sure you're going to do it badly and then screw up something, the next thing that's in your hand. So if you take on every uncomfortable situation as if it's something wrong with you, you don't have the ability to bless or be the gift that you were designed to be in the situation. I loved the exercise that Miranda did about finding first the quality that people would say about you. That's already a strong one for you. Can anybody think of one for themselves? And say it out loud. Patience. Cheerful. Cheerful. Kindness. Empathy. Mm-hmm. What about you, Celia? What's the first word that comes to you that people often describe about you? Hippie. I don't know that's a quality of expression, but we'll take it. We'll take it. All right, I'm going to ask two people qualities about Celia that she might, that you automatically think about for her.
Caring.
I was going to, the one that came to me was sweet. Like there's a sweetness about her that you're in her presence, you just feel blessed by her sweetness. So if you think of that, like for me, the one that always comes easily to me is generosity. It's really easy for me to be generous. Not as easy for me to be kind. Because I always want things to be in order, and so kindness comes up against that because order can be imposing. Can you think of one that you need to grow? Patience.
Grit.
Ooh, yeah, grit. What about you, Chris?
Allowing.
Yeah, that's a good one for a lot of people. diligence. So to say the words, it's difficult because we're in a room and not everybody's seeing who's saying what. But when you say that word into your world, like Miranda's got a bunch of kids reminding her all the time when she's not cheerful. Now we can. Happier thoughts, Miranda, happier thoughts, as Peter Pan would say. And you could say but if you have a circle around you where you've put that out, and then you're willingly asking people to assist you to move in that direction, what a gift that is. I was saying in our prep meeting that I have a friend who often says to me, which I hate, whose voice is that? It's like, I'm going to slap you. Because there's absolutely nothing about that kind of reprimand that makes me want to go, I see. I will now go to my voice of being. No. When someone says that to me, I then end up having that big button that says, it's my stinking voice. That's who's talking. It's just my angry one or my hurt one or whatever. But to have someone not even say the word, but hold the space for you, I hold the space for you that you can be more relaxed into letting. And I don't have to ever say it to you again, but now that I know that it's important to you, I hold that space. And we can do that for each other so that the gift that you have that's been longing to come out because you've not developed it, that you've let sit quietly. No, that sounds nice. I'm not talking about nice. You've let die in the hidden drawers of your own experience because somehow you let that gift out and it got shamed, attacked. Somehow it was not welcomed. You know, there are books written about what number child you are. There are books written about your horoscope, your Enneagram. And one of the things that people don't configure is like, well, I know what my Enneagram is, but what were my parents' Enneagrams? So I know what my birth order was. What were my parents' birth order? So all those factors end up determining a lot about the culture in which you, the way you express yourself. Like if you're a person who likes to be out there, but your parents didn't like that, that affected you. But your parents are the way they are because of the way their parents wanted them to be. And some of that is family. Some of it is era. You know, the generations of the 1940s are different from the 60s, or different from the 80s, 2000s. Like, my parents survived the Depression. Many of you in this room don't even know what the Depression was. But I'm one of those people who doesn't throw stuff away. And people have been told me I'm cheap, and I just think I'm smart. But it's partly to be economical and wise and use my resources accurately. Not because, like my mother, she was afraid we might never have it any again, but because why would you throw it out when it's still usable? Of course, that can become a hoarding situation. Like, I just cleaned out a drawer and I have 20 little bags like this with the zipper that come free and people give them to you with stuff in them. It's like, what? None of them have anything in them, but they're all stuffed in this drawer because they're still good. And maybe someday I'll have something I want to give to somebody in one of those. So I collected them to disperse because it's silly. So one of them is gorgeous leather, and one of them is just this little plastic thing that came free. Anyway, the significance of the topic for me is finding ways to be more accurately yourself because you're centered. And not because you want to be different than who you are, but because when you're centered, you start to discover not only who you are, you discover who you're with, and you discover what you can create together. Because when it's genuine, you're not always watching whether or not you're making mistakes. You're not always reviewing, as Gary was saying, well, that proved I was an idiot, you know, because I'd messed it up sometime. Maybe what messed it up was that the other people weren't paying attention, and you were bringing the gold, and they didn't know what to do with it. It doesn't really matter. It's not about judging it. It's just about get centered, release your blessing into the space. I just was sharing in the prep meeting. I've had the experience yesterday. Linda and I went out to dinner, and there was this elderly woman who She was trying to get up from the table. So the tables in the restaurant were pretty close, and they're trying to get her walker to her. And, you know, that rocking motion where they can't quite get up from their chair because they have no strength in their legs. And the elderly woman trying to bring the walker was also a little wobbly. So I just stood up, and I went and I got the walker, and I brought it over, and I literally grabbed the woman's butt, and I picked her up, and, you know, rather than have her be embarrassed, I said, "Just touched your butt," you know. But, you know, she just, one of the women said, "Grab her butt," and I said, "Okay," and so I just grabbed her butt, and I mean, but it was butt, not butthurt, but like we last week. But there was something, for me, that's, you know, when I said I'm generous, that's to me, it's just natural for me to do that kind of thing. But how much do I do that when what's being called for is not at the physical level? When something is being called for of blessing in a situation that I could just provide it through a generous act without having to have it be a physical act. To just be more patient, more cheerful, allow someone to go ahead of me because they've got one item and I've got a cart full of things. They're simple things, and this might seem like spirituality 101, but when you practice that, as the three people before me were talking about, you start to get good at paying attention about the exact right thing that you've got to give that will change the world, because it's an accurate expression of the love current moving through a human being. The voice of being, I am in heaven. The revelation of myself is whole, holy, wholesome, wholehearted. So it's wonderful to be together and to notice that at 8:30 it's still light out. It's wonderful to have Lucas's parents here. I believe that's who's, your folks are here. Welcome to Sunrise Ranch. I don't know who's with Celia, but nice to have you. Corey, it's good to have you here, and nice to have Robbie home too. Thanks, everybody, and have a wonderful evening. Good to have you guys here on a Wednesday night, too.